Hello, my name's Andy Malone and welcome to this series on Office 365. In this series, we're going to help you pass, hopefully, the exam 7346 and 347. So the first one we're going to take a look at is exam 7346. This is the Office 365 identities and requirements. So a little bit about myself. I'm an MVP for 9 years. I'm also a Microsoft certified trainer for 20 years. Most people know me as a security guy, and I regularly speak, as you can see. I'm also an author. So last year, I actually produced my, wrote my first book, and this is a science fiction thriller called The Seventh Day. I'll maybe tell you more about that later. So what are we going to cover in this session? So this is really all about helping you prepare for the Office 365 7346 exam. So really, we break this down into four sections. We're going to talk about planning and provisioning, administration of both PowerShell and also the UI, the GUI. We'll talk about identity and authentication. And finally, we'll round it up with monitoring and troubleshooting. Now, the Office 365 certification really comprises of two exams, as you're aware. The first one is 7346, and as I say, it's really about the provisioning of Office 365, and it's also about preparing and planning for deploying Office 365 and managing it. The second of the two exams, the 347 exam, is all about obviously pushing on, pushing further with it. So it focuses more on SharePoint, Skype for Business, and also Microsoft Exchange. So first up then, we're going to talk about exam 7346. This is the managing identities and requirements. So when we take a look at the requirements or the skills measured here, you can pretty much take a guess at what the topics are going to be about. So we talk about provisioning Microsoft Office 365. We talk about planning, implementing, networking and security, managing and identities, and that's the authentication part, of course, implementing and managing those identities, including technologies like obviously DirSync or directory synchronization, but we also take a look at emerging technologies as well, so the new AAD Sync, and I'll also talk about AAD Connect as well. We'll also look at Active Directory Federation services. So that is a really exciting area to take a look at. And we'll talk about some best practices with that. And then finally, at the end, we'll talk about monitoring and troubleshooting. So really just obviously getting you started. So just to give you an idea, we're going to talk first up then about planning and provisioning. So what I'm going to do, first of all, you've made that decision. This is really about taking you on a journey into Office 365. So your customers or yourselves, you've made this decision to move forward into 365. So we're going to take it from zero to hero type scenario. So let's take a quick look at the screen here. So I'm going to come out of my slideshow just now, and I'm going to go up to my browser. So the first thing I'm going to take a look at, this is the office365.com. So it's here that a very, very important decision you need to make. So are you purchasing Office 365 for the home, or are you purchasing it for the business? And so I'm obviously clicking on the business options here. I'm going to go and click on plans and pricing. So this is really important that you obviously make it right. So if you're selling Office 365 or you're planning Office 365, it's really important that you want to get the right version of the application. So you can see here, this is very useful. So Office 365 is essentially separated into what we call SKUs here at Microsoft. And those SKUs involve different plans. So for example, we might have Exchange Plan 1, Exchange Plan 2. Now Exchange Plan 2 might include additional features, such as the ability to do an archive mailbox or the ability to place a mailbox on legal hold, whereas Exchange Plan 1 doesn't have that capability. So if you're planning or if you're preparing for the exams, one of the first pieces of recommendation that I can give you is definitely read the service descriptions. Understand what each of these SKUs are actually giving you. Now, I'm going over to here, to this option here. So this is all the plans and pricing. And really, you can see that Office 365 is separated into two areas. So the first area is really for the smaller business. And in this area, we have kind of three plans. So we have Business Essentials, which is essentially a glorified mailbox with a few web features. It gets interesting. Then we have the business and obviously the business premium. And this includes products like Office Professional Plus. But for the enterprise customer, then we have what we call the E plan, so the E1, the Pro Plus plan. And the plan that I'm going to be mostly focusing on in this session is the Enterprise E3. Now, I mentioned that if you scroll down, it tells you what features are available. So if you're preparing for the exam, for example, it might say, hey, you need to place a mailbox on legal hold, but John, the administrator, can't see that option. What's wrong? The idea is obviously you're on the wrong plan. So really important, make sure that you select the correct plan. So planning and provisioning. This is the first area that we're going to be talking about here. Okay, so really we're talking, first of all then, about provisioning the tenant, the Office 365 tenant, adding and configuring that custom domain and planning that all-important pilot. So again, configuring the tenant name, the global administrator, managing the tenant subscription, and managing the licensing model. And as I mentioned, Office 365, essentially what we have is a number of services. So those services, of course, are products like Microsoft Exchange, Skype for Business, and the all-important SharePoint. We then place them into service plans. And as I mentioned, Plan 1, Plan 2, and so on. And then what you purchase are the SKUs. Now, this is really important that you choose the right SKU because, for example, if you choose a small business SKU, and then later you decided, you know, we're going to increase the company, we need more users here. Remember that those smaller business SKUs are actually limited up to 300 users, where the enterprise SKUs are unlimited. And that's very important. So when we talk about a path to a successful deployment and adoption, of course, you know, you might want to give Office 365 a go. So we can go into the trial. And again, I'm going to flip over to my browser here. And let's just have a quick look at that. So you've decided, hey, I want to go and try Office 365. So you can either buy now or you can scroll right down here. And there's an option on some of the SKUs to have a go and do a trial. So once you've decided to take out that trial, so this is my tenant here. I've just created an account and you can see that this is a trial version. Now at any time, if I want to go and purchase Office 365, of course I can just hit the purchase. Now, three numbers that you guys really need to be aware of, 30, 60, 90, very important. So 30 days, by default, you get a 30-day free trial of Office 365. Then if you want to purchase it, you can just go and purchase it. Importantly, what if the customer says, hey, you know, I really like this, but I feel like I'll need a little more time. So you can extend your trial into another 30 days. But it's important that you understand that on day 60, if you've not purchased Office 365, it will go into what we call reduced functionality mode, read-only. Everything continues to flow, everything continues to work, but you know, you'll need to make that decision, but it's locked, so it's read-only. Then again, if you continue not to purchase Office 365, on day 90, everything is wiped. There's no way to get that data back. So 30, 60, 90, those are three dates or days that you really need to understand. So, let's flip back here. So, of course, you've made that decision to purchase Office 365. So, of course, when we talk about the actual deployment of the product, we need to think about preparing the customer's infrastructure for that deployment. So, of course, infrastructure means, okay, what version, what infrastructure do they have? Do they have Active Directory at the moment? Do they have Microsoft Exchange? Do they have Link or Skype for Business on premises? All of these questions are really, really important. Another question, of course, is do they have, or how many users does the organization have? And this can be really, really important when planning and deploying Office 365. And as I mentioned, if you choose the wrong SKU, it can be a real headache, obviously, if you need to increase the number of users. Okay, so obviously, it's all about preparing the customer's environment. So if the customer has Active Directory, for example, the chances are that that customer has Active Directory for quite some time. So you really want to clean Active Directory up. You want to remove any stale accounts, any old user accounts for that. So let's talk about tenant provisioning. Again, I'll just give you a little walkthrough of what that looks like. So this is the screen, the setup screen. Again, depending on where you are in the world, the screen may look a little bit different. Fundamentally, it's the same. You've decided that, hey, you know, I want to go and try a trial of Office 365. So you'll need to put in your details here, your username, the name of the company. Now, when you put in the name of the company, it actually generates what we call a tenant in Azure Active Directory. Now, Azure Active Directory, a tenant is essentially a container name, a holding name. So this is ultimately going to be something like mycompany.onmicrosoft.com. Now, of course, it's highly likely that you've got your own domain name and you can obviously bolt that or add that managed domain name in a little bit later. So next you create your user ID. So for the purposes of this little demo, I've called mine admin. And of course you set up your password in here as well. Now, one of the nice things about Office 365 is you can also set up things like multi-factor authentication as well. And again, the sign-up sequence gives an example of this. So first of all, prove that you're not a robot. So you need to put in your phone number here and it will send you a text message. And then you basically enter the code and you're up and you're running. Now, out of the box, you get 30 days, obviously trial. So if you're not sure whether, hey, you know, I want to purchase Office 365 or I want to try it out, really doesn't matter because you can put in your details here and you can get that 30 days and just easily convert it to a paid subscription. So once you've set up, essentially, I'm going to flip over here to my browser again. And in my browser, let's have a look at this. So essentially, this is the E3 tenant. This is basically what we get. And of course, you've got all the main applications here. You'll notice that we've got things like Delve, Video, and so on, all the Microsoft Office applications. I'm going to click onto the admin page here. This is basically where you want to start first. I'll just zoom in a little bit there. So what we can see here, now at the moment, obviously one thing I would say about the cloud is it changes very, very quickly. I was asked to write a book on Office 365 and I started, but it's just one of those topics that is really quite difficult to write a book on because it's constantly changing. And as one of the nice things about being an IT pro in this area is this is really challenging and very exciting. So of course, for standing up here, so this is my service dashboard here, and this currently shows you your whether everything is working nicely. Now, in this tenant here, you can see that there is a new admin center. So at the moment, Microsoft are just about to roll out the next gen of interface. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So where do we start? So obviously, the next thing, you want to go ahead and set up Office 365. And you can see that this involves things like verifying your domain, adding your users, copying user data across, and of course, setting up your mail delivery. Now, you can see that if I go into my active users here, you can see at the moment I've only got one user. And just to confirm, mvalearning.onmicrosoft.com, you can see that this user is actually firmly in the cloud. So the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to just switch back to my slide. So you get your admin page. So this is my admin portal that you get. Now, of course, depending on which SKU that you sign up for, you'll notice that the admin portal may look slightly different depending on your SKU. So the next thing we're going to talk about is adding users. And of course, you can add users in a number of ways. So these are just, you can statically add them, of course, by using the add user here. So I can just quickly add a user. And you can also do what we call a bulk import of those users as well. Let me give you a quick look at this. Now, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, so I apologize for this. So I'm going to click on the little plus button here, and I'm going to create a new user. I'm going to call this user James Kirk. And I'm going to say, what's his username? We'll call him Kirk J. Now, for the password, you can see it's saying, OK, do you want me to type in the password, or do you want me to use an auto-generated password? Now, at the moment, you'll notice that it is given a generic extension. So you get your tenant name here, mvalearning, .onmicrosoft.com. So this is just, at the moment, a generic tenant. So do I want to, get the user to re-log in with their password? I can also share the password with the user as well. So I'm going to go ahead and create this. So user is created. Let's just have a quick double click on this. And I can see additional details. There are no additional details at the moment. I haven't added a domain name in yet. So pretty much it's just a standard user. Now, the next thing that you might want to think about is you might want to assign a role to the user. So when we assign the role to the user here, essentially you've got three things. Whether the user is just a regular user, so I don't want the user to have any admin access. Is it going to be a global admin? So be very careful when you assign this role. Essentially, this is a god user account. He can actually do absolutely everything. What is nice, you can also have what we call a limited access role. So, for example, you don't want him to be a full administrator, but you may want to give him one of these roles. And we refer to this, of course, as RBAC, role-based administration. So you remember the days of yore, the old days. One of the problems is, of course, permissions creep. So if a user joins a group, and you assign a certain amount of permissions, and then the user joins another group, but you forget to remove him from the original group, the permissions can creep. So whereas role-based administration, of course, doesn't have that particular problem. So again, you can just make the user an Exchange admin, a SharePoint admin, a Skype for Business admin. So for the purposes of this little demo here, I'm just going to say, no, I don't want the user to have any admin privileges. So again, just going to double click on this, bring him back up again. Quickly moving to the settings. So is this user allowed to sign in? So if the user is blocked or not signed in, for example, if you want to, if the user's not ready yet, of course, you may want to block the account. In this case, the account is not active. You're not being billed for this, and this is important. Of course, assigning a license, very important. So setting the user location. Of course, I'm based in the UK, so I'm just choosing the UK here. And of course, this is just a demo E3 license here. Now, it's important because depending on where you are in the world, of course, Microsoft have a number of data centers across the world. So where you place the user's data is really important because it will position it into one of those actual data centers. In terms of email address, of course, it will auto-generate an email address for the user. And again, if you wanted to add additional addresses in, you can do that here. Mailbox permissions. So this is where you will send things like send as, send email from this mailbox. And you can see this is just the user himself. But are you going to assign another user with permissions to read mailbox messages and so on? Again, we'll cover that in exam 7347. And then, of course, you've got in the more option here, this is where you can actually go to those specific tools themselves. So you can go into Exchange and you can go into Skype for Business here. So there we go. I've successfully created my first user. Another way to create a user account is you can bulk add the user account in. So instead of clicking the plus symbol here, click on the little bulk add tool here. Now, if you don't have a CSV file, so it needs to be in an Excel spreadsheet format, CSV file, you can browse for it. Now, I do have one pre-created. So I'm just going to show you this. And yes, before you say, I know I'm using a Mac. And that's the key. That's one of the great things about Office 365. So Office 365, it's no longer about the device. Sorry. It's no longer about the device. It's the data is in the cloud. It's how I can consume that device or how I can consume my data, which is really important. So you can see here on screen, I'm also a big friend of Friends, by the way, that I've got some, three or four user accounts here. The difference this time, though, is that I can actually put in user data about this. So that's my spreadsheet. I'm going to just not save that at the moment. So I want to now bulk add in. So all I do now is just browse to this file and click on open. And you can see successfully four users have come in. There's been no errors. Everything looks grand. I now at this point, I don't need to allow the license. So if you're not ready for this user yet, again, that's okay. Don't worry about it. So in this case, I'm just going to set a location. I'm going to allow the license and I'm selecting that. Yeah, and off it goes. It will auto-generate the passwords for the user. Fantastic. Okay. And you can see my users have come in. Difference this time, if I double-click the user and go into more details, hey, you can see that those details have actually come in. Fantastic. Okay. So, of course, the other way you can do this, you can use PowerShell as well. So if you want to have a look at that, you can look at the Azure Active Directory PowerShell tools. Again, I will be putting up some slides both in this session and also another session later. So adding bulk users. Now, what if you're licensing? So you can see licensing my users there. Really important. So now we talked about creating users, we've talked about bulk adding users, we've talked about that, how the licensing works, the 30, 60, 90 rule. Now, what about if you need to delete a user account? So here we've got Joey, and if you decide to delete Joey, you can just select Joey and delete him. Now, this account actually goes into the recycle bin for 30 days. Now, at any point, the user or the administrator, the global admin, can go back in and they can restore that user back. Now, after that 30 days, that user disappears from the recycle bin. Now, that doesn't mean that the user's not still there. If it's absolutely critical, you could call Microsoft because that there will be an instance for up to 90 days, potentially. But officially, we say 30 days. So again, you can restore that user back. Another new feature of Office 365 is the ability to do groups. And groups are great for things like if you want to set up groups for Exchange and give them permissions to certain elements in Exchange and also SharePoint as well. So take a look at the groups. You can create groups. There are a few gotchas about groups that's really important. So out of the box, by the way, important that you understand this, anyone can go and create a group. Now, from an admin perspective, this could be a potential nightmare. So you want to think about that. If you want to stop that or avoid that, this is a great little script. Okay, so you can set -om-mailbox-policy-identity. So if you use this little script, you can disable group creation per user. Okay, so a few things to keep in mind about groups. They are limited. They only provide limited management. You can't recover a limited group. All groups can be seen by everyone. Unfortunately, there's no compliance features, no retention policies, and no migration support here yet, of course. Now, I did mention that the admin portal is about to go through a refresh with the next generation of admin portal. So let's take a quick look at that. This is basically what it looks like. So this is essentially let me just come out of this screen because I know you want to see it. Now, one of the problems with Office 365, I've been working with Office 365 for a while. Originally, the menu items used to be along the top, but that became too many. So now we had them on the side. But again, that became too many. And now you can see that we now have this situation where we have menus that roll up. In other words, the menu options, it's getting a little crazy here. So in order to fix this issue, if I go back to the just Office 365 here, you can see one of the things that you do have, if I just go back to my admin center, you can actually have a look at the next gen portal. So this is the next generation admin portal. And I don't need a tour, thank you very much. So you can see here that you can add users, all the important tasks, billing, also the service health. Now, I can click onto the drop-down arrows here. You can see this is not all the options at the moment, so this is just a work in progress, but it really gives you an idea of what the new next generation portal will look like. So at any time, at the moment, I can, of course, just switch back to my traditional view. So just if you're preparing for exams, do be aware that these portals, these tools can change sometimes on a weekly basis. And again, you need to be you need to keep up to date with that. So what about, I've mentioned the permissions model. I talked about the administration roles in Office 365. And as you've seen, you can create, you can revoke those roles. Just be aware though, only the global administrator can assign roles. So if you were a password admin, you obviously couldn't make yourself a global admin. And we actually refer to this. Microsoft have changed the name of this feature. This is called workload-based admin roles. And you can see on screen, this is pretty much the demo that I just showed you there. Okay, so there we go. I've done that little demo. So next thing, obviously important, plan a pilot. So if you're going to deploy Office 365, really important that you plan, identify the workloads that don't require migration in terms of mail. In terms of tools, so if I flip back to the portal here, if I go back in here, very, very important tools. This is great for planning. So this checks for any kind of prerequisites. If you've got Active Directory, if you've got Exchange on premises. And of course, you can also use the Microsoft OnRamp tool. That's a great kind of questionnaire tool. And you can go through that and it will help you decide, you know, which plan is best for me, which solution is best for me. Okay, so a couple of sample questions. As I mentioned, really important that you know which SKU. So quick question, you have to assign an Office 365 plan to users that do not require a full Office client, but do support hosted voicemail. So again, what's the best plan that you need to assign? So hosted voicemail, of course, is where, in other words, either the client wants to host the voicemail, they want Skype for Business, and they want to host their own voicemail on premises, or they want to purchase this through an E4 plan. And of course, in this case, the only two plans that support this are the E3 and E4. So E3 is the minimum one that you would need here. Okay, so you must know the difference between the Office 365 plans, yes. And again, the service guides are great for this. So, okay, I mentioned that we had our, by default, you just get this tenant container name. So, you know, something .onmicrosoft.com. So it's highly likely that your customer will probably want their own domain name. So I'm going to flip over here and I'm going to show you a quick example of how this is done. So on the in the portal here, I'm going to go into my domains. And in my domain, I'm going to say, okay, go and add a domain. And it's essentially this three-step process. Of course, you do need to have access to DNS here. I'm going to go ahead and get started. And I'm going to put in my domain name here. Now, for the purpose of this, I'm just going to use a little subdomain of an internal domain that we have here at Microsoft called 0365ready.com. So I'm just going to give like lab12345.0365ready.com. So I go ahead, I click on next. The technical term for this, by the way, is it's called a managed domain. Okay, so step one, then we need to go through three steps here. So first of all, you need to prove that you own this domain. So I need to copy this unique number, this MS equals MS, whatever this unique number is. I'm going to flip over to DNS here, and I'm going to create a text record. Now, you don't need to put a title in the text record, so it doesn't need a title. All you do is just click into here and just paste this in here. So I'm just going to paste that in, and I'm going to click OK. And that's it, okay? That's it. So that's all I do. Now I'm going to go and flip back to my Office 365 portal. And of course, now I need to prove it. So I've added the record and now it's going to check to see if it can read that. And you can see, yay, we've verified that you own that domain. Now, if you don't get that, you know, your DNS, sometimes it can take 72 hours, so you need to keep refreshing that. Now, at this point, it's saying, okay, Andy, do you want me to change the extensions of those user accounts to look at your new domain name? So instead of the on Microsoft account, it will change it now to the 0365 ready or the custom account. Okay, I'm not going to bother with this just now. So, and again, at this point, you could also add in new users here as well. Again, I'm not too bothered about that. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to skip that. Now, if the customer has or wants to go for Office 365 full cloud and they want things like Exchange and Skype for Business, then, of course, it will give you additional types of records. So things like MX records and so on, Mail Exchanger records. At the moment, you know, I'm saying, okay, I can add these in later. I'm not quite ready for this, so I'll add these in later. But that's important that you get that right. Okay, so we're good to go. And you can now see that my domain is in, it's ready to go, and it's live. Okay, so we call this a managed domain in Office 365. Now, if I mentioned that you can, if you decided not to change that user account, I can easily just go in. So for example, if I go up to Chandler's account here, double click on his account, just wait for it to come up. And I can click on that domain drop-down box there. And you can see that that new domain name could come in, and I just click on save and we're done. Now, at this point, you do get a little message. So if you're using internal Exchange and so on, it's just saying, make sure that you also bring across those other records as well. Now, on the subject of domains, just a couple of little gotchas here. Many companies out there, of course, have subdomains, and subdomains are important. So, you know, USA.mycompany.com, Europe.mycompany.com, and so on. Just to show you that the one account that you can't do this is the Office 365 Essentials. You know, you could get asked that question. It's just one of those gotcha questions that we could get. So, key things: verify the domain, of course. Again, you need to add that SMTP domain in, and it's important that you plan that UPN suffix, because the UPN or user principal name is what the user logs in as. So it's really important that you know that. Okay, because if you don't verify that, what will happen is later on when you run, for example, a sync tool, and that user syncs across to Office 365, it'll come across like Bob at bobsboats.onmicrosoft.com instead of bobsboats.com. So you need to get that domain name, that UPN suffix, correct. So, once you've done that, of course, then you need to configure the DNS records for the other services, Exchange, Skype for Business, and so on. We spoke about rights management, we'll actually cover in 7347 in more detail. We spoke also about managing administrator roles in Office 365. So remember, if you need them, create those DNS records for Exchange, Link, or Skype for Business, whatever you call it, and SharePoint. So what about enabling client connectivity to Office 365? So of course, make sure that you choose the correct ports, watch out for firewalls, make sure that you've got enough bandwidth and so on. Now, if you are, but, I mean, I'm using Office 2016 here. Now, if you're using Office 2013 and 2016, one of the important things to remember is you don't need to download the desktop client. But if you're using an older version of Microsoft Office, you'll need to download that desktop client from the portal. It's in the software area of the Office 365. So, couple of questions here then. The classic question: you're an administrator for Fabricam. You have to prove domain ownership of your domain for Office 365. What record do you need to prove it with? And of course, the answer is that text record. So make sure that you know those DNS records. So now we switch to the next topic. This is identity and authentication management. So, of course, I mentioned that out of the box, we're using Azure Active Directory services. Now, if you are in the cloud, fantastic. If you've got no residue on premises, you're just using, customers are moving to the cloud, then this is absolutely fine. But if you do have Active Directory on premises, of course, you might want to say, okay, I want to sync my users in. And this obviously helps in provisioning. Or you can go for the full BUNA, the full federation option, the more complex option. So in this section, we're really going to talk all about these. So first up then, managing cloud identities. So I gave a little demo of managing user groups here, and also adding them with PowerShell as well. So managing cloud identities, of course, in the last demo, I won't bother going through it again. I just go into here. This is where I created the users, the active users, of course. So for example, if I deleted a user, it will come up in a moment. So I can delete the user here, I can reset the user password. One interesting little area, if I just scroll down here into service settings, So in service settings here, one of the options is passwords. So out of the box, this is where the administrator can set the password expiry policy. By default, it's set to 90 days. And you can obviously do a reminder 14 days before. Now you can notice here that it's not on by default. So that's important. So by default, you've got an unlimited password. So if you do want to enforce that, again, make sure that you take a look at that. Also, there is an option here in 365 to let your people reset their own password. Now, this is actually a premium version of Azure Active Directory. Now, if you're in the gotcha here, by the way, is that if you want your users to be able to reset their own passwords, if you're just in the cloud, a cloud user, no problem, that service is available. But if you're using AAD Sync, DIR Sync, if you're using Active Directory Federation services, that feature is a premium Azure Active Directory feature and you need to pay extra for that. So just be aware of that. So managing cloud identities, okay, you need to delegate admin rights to user one to reset passwords, but the user must not be able to reset the passwords of other administrators, which is the answer, of course. Of course, it's the password admin. So make sure that you're aware of the differences between the different roles. So the second of the sync, or the second identity solution, is that you, the customer, has Active Directory. Okay, you've decided that you want to keep Active Directory for one reason or another, and you want to be able to sync your users into Office 365. Obviously, you don't want to manually type all those users in. So there are a few solutions that you can use. So key things first, before you use the sync tool, prepare that domain, clean up those user accounts, and remember, plan for that all-important UPN. Okay. So on-premises domain preparation, again, one of the tools that you can use is a tool called IDFix. Okay, so once you have your domain created properly, the next thing that we need to do is we need to clean up Active Directory and, of course, clean up any attributes of any user objects in Active Directory. A tool that we can use for that used to be an internal tool here at Microsoft. It was called IDFix. Sorry, my brain's gone blank. It's called IDFix. And let's just have a quick look at that now. It's a very, very simple tool. And so what I'm going to do, first of all, here in my portal, I'm going to enable directory synchronization. So I'm not installing the tool yet. All I'm doing is I'm just switching the feature on. So I'm activating the tool. So once I've activated the tool, I'm now going to go ahead and download the IDFix tool. Now, just to save a little bit of time, here's one I made earlier. So I've actually downloaded it here. Let's just run this tool. And what this looks for is it looks for any inconsistencies in the user account. So that, are there any duplicate accounts? Are there any duplicate attributes? Any attributes that have been misconfigured? So the IDFix tool is excellent. Now, of course, when you connect to the tool, you connect through LDAP. So in this case, I'm going to just type in here, OU equals online, comma, DC equals on-prem, comma, DC equals local. Okay, so I'll just click OK. And sure enough, it will pick out one attribute. So I'm going to go ahead and search, and you can see here that there is a user called Treza. And it says that Treza, there is an error. So a character, there's an invalid character in her account. Now, what do I want to do? Do I want to fix that problem? Do I want to edit it? Do I want to remove it? And when I have edited, I can say then it's complete. So that when that account syncs through with Office 365, I know that it's going to work okay. Okay. So just before I installed DirSync, there was one little thing I wanted to bring to your attention. You'll notice that in my demo, I was using something called onprem.local. So onprem.local, okay, that's not going to go. So if you've got onprem.local, remember a few years ago that Microsoft spoke about the companies, if you didn't want to have an external domain name, just use the onprem.local domain name. And this is great. Now, if you're using a live domain name, what you need to do is go into Active Directory services, Active Directory domains and trusts. Sorry, my brain's gone blank. Go into domains and trusts and add in an additional UPN for your live domain name. So if you've called your domain bobsboats.com, you need to add that in. The second thing that you need to do is all your users in Office 365, you need to adjust the UPN so that it meets that live domain name. So that when you install DirSync and those users sync through to 365, they will come through correctly. So the primary field that it looks at is that UPN. Okay. So of course, the DirSync tool or the AAD sync tool syncs users across to Office 365. It doesn't sync every object. So for example, things like administrator accounts don't come through, but it brings across users, mail-enabled groups, and also mail-enabled contacts as well. And it brings across initially five key attributes, and the primary attribute is the UPN, the user principal name. So once, make sure that you get that UPN correct, okay. So we've looked at Active Directory. We have used the ID fix tool. We've added in our DNS name. The next thing that we want to configure is we want to configure our sync tool. And what I've decided to do is Microsoft are going through transition at the moment. So DirSync was the primary tool. Now DirSync is fantastic. It was easy. You can download it from the portal, but it could only handle one forest. If you had more forests, for example, America.com, Europe.com, you could use a tool called AAD Sync. And also, Microsoft have just released a tool called AAD Connect. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you a quick look at all three of these tools. They all kind of work pretty much the same way. So let's take a quick look at this. So first of all, the first one is installing DirSync. So we've cleaned up Active Directory. I'm going to go back to the portal here. I'm going to go into users and I'm going to say, okay, we've enabled DirSync. You can see I can go back in and manage it. I can deactivate it if I want to. So I'm going to click on manage in this case. And I'm now going to download the DirSync tool. Now, this download and installation can take about 20 minutes, but you don't have 20 minutes. So here's one I've made earlier. So once it's been downloaded, I'm now going to go ahead and actually install this. Okay, so I'm going to click next, just agree to the license. Okay, so installation is complete. So do I want to configure it? Well, if I said yes, go and configure it, the chances are I would actually get an error message. And the reason being is because it needs to be, for example, it needs to be a member of the AAD Sync Tools group. And you get an error message saying, I don't have permissions. That could be an exam question, couldn't it? So the way to fix that, essentially just reboot the machine, okay? So all I'm gonna do here is I'm just gonna reboot this machine and by rebooting it, it gives it the permissions. Now, a lot of people say, can I install this on an AD domain controller? Absolutely, you can. However, for troubleshooting purposes, I like to install it on a virtual machine, a standalone machine. But again, either or is fine. Okay, so we've rebooted. It comes back up eventually. Yay. Okay, let's log in. And now I'm actually going to set this up. So I now double click on the sync tool. Just close that down. And now you see I don't get the error message. Yes, because it's restarted, it's got the correct permissions. Okay, so first up, I need to put in my Azure Active Directory credentials or my tenant, Office 365 tenant credentials. Now, if you're using Office 365, Windows Azure, Windows Intune, of course, it's all the same. It's an Azure Active Directory account, so it's all the same thing. Oops, sorry, I went and put the wrong password in. Just correct that. And click on finish, on next. Okay, now it's asking me, okay, now I need your on-premises details. So in this case, our domain is called on-prem, / admin or administrator, and then just put in my password here. Now, do I want to use hybrid? So if I'm setting up an Exchange hybrid deployment, it's looking for a potential client access. Now, in this particular scenario, I don't have that installed. Now, we also can enable what we call password hash sync. And this essentially hashes the password, rehashes it, and sends that secondary hash into the cloud. So no password is actually exposed. And this gives the user the idea or it simulates full single sign-on. And to be honest, for most customers, it's actually really useful. Now, at this point, do you want to synchronize your directory now? If you do, it will sync the whole thing. But if you're doing like a staged migration, so you want to pull people across in batches, then take that checkbox out and you can use something like the Synchronization Manager tool to sync your users in batches or by OU or something like that. So I'm now logging back into my portal and I'm going back into my admin tool. And in here, I'm going to go into my users and my active users here. And all I need to do, of course, well, you can see, first of all, we've just got our few internal users here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to refresh this screen. Okay, and now you can see it's done that full sync. So it's synced with Active Directory. Now this occurs by default every 3 hours. And you can see here it's telling you, you can't administer this user from here. So if you want to make changes, because it's being pulled across from Active Directory, the Active Directory is the source of that user account. So any administration you need to do. One key thing to note, however, you must license the account and set up a location for them. So by default, user accounts are not licensed when you sync them across. All right, so just be aware of that. Okay, so what I want to show you now is exactly the same tool, exactly the same scenario, but this time it's using the AAD sync tool. So rather than going to the portal, I've already downloaded this tool here just to save a little bit of time. Now, this is the scenario where you're a larger organization. You maybe got more complex infrastructure. So, of course, you can, you know, Andy, can I still use this exactly the same way? You can see, by the way, that's the permissions that it brings in. So I've rebooted the machine already, and you can see that the permissions, so it brings in the AAD Sync and admins group. And I'm going to go ahead and just fire this wizard up. And it looks very, very similar. Yep, you can see it's very, very similar. I just put in my tenant credentials. Again, my tenant again. And I'll put in my password. And of course, it will then say, okay, go ahead and put in your domain. This time, however, the difference is you can actually put in your forest. So when you pull these users in, or when you pull these accounts in, you might want to, for example, do you want them to share the same global address list? So one of the real benefits of DirSync on AAD Sync is if you have multiple forests or with, you know, users, and you're using Exchange, for example, it will create a global address list for you. And that's it. So I can go ahead and I can add in another forest here. So that's how it differs from the original DirSync tool. So, of course, you can just use it as normal. So what we have here is this is basically saying, okay, do you want to share the global address list? Do you want to perhaps not come in using a UPN? Do you want to perhaps come in using a different attribute? Yeah. Now, TechNet has a brilliant article on this. And again, if you're preparing for the exam, definitely take a look at the article. Definitely know what each of these features are. Very, very useful in the real world. Okay. So in this case, I'm just going to keep it nice and simple. In this case, I've just got a single one. So do you want to bring Exchange attributes across? Yes, I can do that. Do you want to enable password write back? So if you've got premium Active Directory services Azure, then you can get that. Again, I'm doing the password filtering or the attribute filtering. So if you wanted to add in additional attributes during the sync process, you can do that as well. So I'm pretty much happy with this at the moment. So click next, next, next. And again, you get that question, do you want to sync now? If you don't and you want to manually sync, then take that checkbox out. And you can use the management tool. So again, you can see I've synced and everything's great. They've come through exactly the same. So synchronization, great feature. Just remember that DirSync will allow you to sync one and only one Active Directory forest, but the AAD Sync tool, you can either just do the one or you can do multiple forests as well. Now, one important thing, I'm often asked, Andy, if I want to force a sync, can I do that? Of course you can. So if you're still using the DirSync tool, then it's a PowerShell command. So *-online-coexistence-sync. If you want, and that will just do what we call a delta sync. If you want to do a full sync, you can add the full sync switch at the end of it. However, the gotcha here, folks, is that with AAD sync, that has changed. So that *-online-coexistence-sync doesn't exist anymore. So this is what you will see instead. You will see that tool has been depreciated. And what you now need to do is you now need to delve in here. And there's this little tool here. You see directory sync client command.exe. So essentially just go ahead, double click that, and that's how you basically do a sync. Okay, so watch out for that in a potential exam question. So a couple of things that you need to read up on, soft match filtering, what sync attributes. And again, you can see how the tools, you can choose which sync. Remember, password sync or password hash sync, we could, as we call it, you need to click that little checkbox that says that, all right? And again, key thing is don't, you know, if customers are concerned about that, don't worry, because it's only bringing across the secondary password hash. And again, it's been pretty successful, and it saves a lot of work. Okay, so a couple of other features here, managing Active Directory users with sync. Again, I've mentioned here, sync in action. You can use the synchronization manager to create, to modify, and to delete objects and customize them. And I've mentioned the force synchronization tool. So here's that question. You need to sync Active Directory immediately. So sync immediately, which command line do you use? Obviously eliminate the obviously bogus ones and go for the correct one. But watch out for that. Remember that this is only for dirsync, not for AAD sync. So the last part of identity is managing identities federated. Now, to be fair, if you're moving to Active Directory Federation services, this is what we call the big boona. This is more complex organizations that have already got an Active Directory Federation services in situ. Maybe they're using their own custom apps. Maybe they've got their own custom software and you're looking for true single sign-on. So in this scenario, we're talking about installing an Active Directory Federation services. And this essentially adds an additional layer of security, and we call it secure token passing service. And it uses SAML tokens. So let's take a look at this and see how it works. Now, it's not considered good etiquette to actually expose a Federation server to the front-siding face of the internet. So again, you would internally have a Federation server, and then externally you would have a proxy server. But the problem with Federation services is that it was a little difficult to go ahead and install just one Federation server, of course, because if it fell over, it's game over for you, right? So we needed to install Federation services in what we call farms. So you install one and then you join the farm, okay? And obviously for small, medium-sized companies, this was pretty expensive. So Microsoft have worked hard to resolve this issue. So what we now have is that password hash sync option, and you can combine them both, of course. In fact, it's a good idea. So if Federation services did fail, you've always got that password hash to kind of fall back on. So what about what we need? Of course, create the ADFS user account. So setting up ADFS. I'm going to show you two scenarios here. So these are all the requirements that you need. Again, it's a lot of work. So setting up the certificate, configuring the settings, setting up any proxy forms, logon page. So let's take a look at installing ADFS. And I've got two models here for you. So this is the traditional model. So again, I've just checked that I've got a text record here for my Federation services. I'm now going to go into Windows Server. I'm going to add the role. And I'm going to add in the Active Directory Federation Services role. And you'll see here that when I select this, it's basically saying, okay, do you want to go ahead and install a Federation server, or do you want to install that Federation proxy? Now, bearing in mind, and you'll see here, that you can't have both. So when you install it, it's one or the other. So do I want any other attributes? I'm fine with this. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on next. Okay, so you can see here, you can install the proxy or you can install the Federation server. So again, I'm just going to click on next. Now, one of the things that you do need to actually set up is a user account. So when we install the service, it needs to run obviously as a user. So I'm going to go ahead and just install that service. And now I'm going to flip over to Active Directory Users and Computers, and I'm just going to create a user account here. I'll call it ADFS service or something like this. Put in a password for the user. And I'll click on next. And you know the old timers, we always click those two options, don't we? Okay, so next. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run a little PowerShell command now. And this PowerShell command will just grant that user account to the permissions to run as a service. Okay, so we need to add that. Okay, so we've now installed it. The next thing, of course, is this needs to run over port 443, so we need a certificate. So we need to install our public certificate here. So I'm going to go ahead and install this. Okay, finally, I just need to bind this certificate. Let's just double check that it's actually installed, all right. So I'm just going to go into my certificate snap-in for my local computer account. Click on next, finish. Let's just have a quick look at this just to make sure that it's gone in. Yay, there we go. You can see that I've now got my live public certificate. Last thing I need to do is I need to go in and bind this certificate. So I'm just going into IIS. I'm going to go into bindings and I'm going to bind to port 443, so HTTPS. Now, if you don't do this, you won't be able to install ADFS. It won't install because it must use SSL. Okay, so of course, if you're using the new 2012 R2, you'll use the web proxy. But in this case, I'm using IIS. So now that I've done that, I can now continue with ADFS. And you notice that that was the error message that I would have got. So it's telling me that it's not configured because the certificate wasn't done. But I now know it is. So do I want to be a farm? Or do I want to be a standalone server? And you can see it's detected the certificate. So I'm going to click OK. Next. And I need to include that service account. Put in that details. And I click next. And yeah, off we go, and you can see it's now installed, and that's it. So I've now successfully installed that. Now, the next thing I need to do is I now need to tell Office 365 that I'm using ADFS. So I'm connect-msl service in PowerShell. This brings up the dialog box. I log in, and I'm now typing in get-msl domain, and this will bring up a list of my domains, and you can see that I've now got my managed domain, so the one I've just added, of course, but now I want to convert that into what we call a federated domain. So first of all, I'm typing in set-msl ADFS context, in other words, which server is installing the ADFS role on, so computer DC1, yes? And once it's got the context, I'm now saying convert dash MSL domain federated. And the name of the domain, so dash domain, and in this case, my fully qualified domain name. Fantastic. Alrighty. Okay, so now that I've done that, let's just say get dash MSL domain again. And you can now see, hey, it's now in federated. Okay, so we're now in full federation. So if I switch now over to a client and log in with a on-prem user, but notice the UPN is my live UPN. So Bob logs in and welcome. He now gets access to Office 365. This is the first time he's been set up, so it's just setting up his machine. Now, Microsoft has a new piece of software, well, it's not entirely new, called AAD Connect. And it's fantastic because it really simplifies this whole process. And you could see that was quite complex. Creating the user account, assigning the permissions, PowerShell, assigning that certificate. That's a lot of work. So Microsoft have worked really hard to kind of simplify this process. So in the next demo, let's have a look at the demo again. So this now looks exactly the same, but this is using the new AAD Connect tool. So exactly the same demo, okay? But just look at how much simpler this is now. So I'm gonna go in, I'm going to run the wizard. So I'm not even installing AAD Sync here. This is just one single tool. This is bringing all of these things together. So I'm gonna click on install. Okay, so the first checks the prerequisites, of course. Specify the tenant credentials. So this is my on Microsoft account. Just one little thing, by the way, do be aware that these sync tools install SQL Server Express, and that has a 10 gig database limit. In other words, that equates to 50,000 users or 50,000 objects. So if you're going to have more than that, make sure that you use full SQL. So do you want full single sign-on or password hash sync option? So just like the AAD sync tool. So I'm going with a full SSO this time. So put in my on-prem credentials. Okay, so this is my this will be my ADFS. It says, okay, do you want to install the certificate? So remember this. So I go ahead, install the certificate. Yay, it's worked, great. So next I will then say, okay, which computer do you want to install ADFS on? So just like the wizard, so you can see this is saving the PowerShell. So put in the Federation server credentials. And it says, okay, do you want to create a service account? Yeah, that sounds great. So I'm gonna install it onto my contoso.com domain. So yeah, that's great. And it says, do you want to run directory synchronization now or do you want to do it later? And do you want to enable password hash sync as a backup? So I'm gonna say, yay, I wanna go and do that. And that's it. You do get one little warning, just of course, check that DNS record. That's the ADFS DNS record that you saw in previously. So I can now just click verify and you can see that everything now works. And that's exactly the same demo. So look at the difference there compared to the setup of the previous one. So quick question then, what port do you have to have open between the ADFS proxy and the AD server? Now, of course, AD uses 389, so it's not that one. And remember, you need that digital certificate, you need SSO. So it's port 443, okay? So make sure you know your ports here. So finally, we come to a little section on monitoring and troubleshooting. So of course, very important that you need to know how to get support for Office 365, monitor the service health of the system, isolate potential service disruptions. And again, you can go in and you can view the various reports. Very, very easy. There's also auditing as well. And there's various different reports. Other ways that you can get information, Microsoft also do an RSS feed, but primarily, definitely take a look at this service health dashboard. So this lets you know about things like planned maintenance, service updates, and so on. So in terms of creating service requests, of course, if you've got issues, problems, you need to do that. So let me just take you into that very quickly. So in here, this is my dashboard, and you can see, I can see the current health of Office 365. If you want to go into more details or view the history of this, I can go in here and you can see that occasionally you'll get some information. Just down at the bottom of the screen here, you can see it tells you that normal service, it shows you these are the various statuses of the services. So it's very important for the exam that you know what each of these mean. And again, you can find out more about that. There's some articles here as well. In terms of just flip back, you can also put in your service requests here as well. So this is where you can put that. So if you need help for Office 365. One interesting little nugget, by the way, that is if I go into, where was it? Into my office settings here. Where are we? Let me just find this. So in my office settings, one of the things that you can do is you can go into the community. So if you want to, for example, participate in the Office 365 community, and this is quite good for asking help and so on. The other thing that you can also do is you can go up to your profile, and in your profile here, you can actually set up your own help desk, which is really nice as well. So if I just flip back to this, so take a look at this. There's also audit reports that you can look at here as well. Again, these are all, so it's all in the service health area. Alrighty. So quick question then, know those symbols. So you can see here that you get the little circle with the green, the green with the white tick. What does it mean? It means service restored. So know what those mean, okay? Know how the service dashboard works. Okay, so there you have it. Just what did we look at? We looked at, talked about the certification. Hopefully I've given you a few tips on things to look out for. We've spoke about planning and provisioning, administering, identity and monitoring, and troubleshooting. I really wish you good luck with your exam and also your exam prep. In terms of resources, this is where you can find some good resources there. So my name is Andy Malone. I really appreciate you spending some time with me on the 7346 exam prep, and the very best of luck with your exam. Thank you very much.